March 7, 2007, at my house here in Jackson's with my grandmother, Clyda Christensen, and myself, Teresa Carlson, telling different stories.
Okay, I'll tell you stories about my mom. Mm-hmm. Your great-grandmother, my mother. Well, I was born in Carlock, 1920. But I remember my mom real well, because I was 9 years old when she died. But I didn't know what dying was. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the family, our oldest sister was Minnie. Then there was my sister Minnie. Then there was me. Then there was, let's say, Minnie, Uncle Martin, Auntie Annie, Uncle Oscar, your Auntie Catherine. Your great aunt, that was your mama's auntie. She would have been your great aunt. Mm-hmm. Oh. There was 8 of us from my mom and dad. And I remember as I was growing up. First, I remember being in Sturgeon River. That's where I start to remember things. I mean, where we were, and I thought there was nobody else around in this world except those old couple across the bay, I mean, the lagoon of Sturgeon. Mm-hmm. And that was Uncle Martin's godfather and his wife. They were not very old. My mom and dad wasn't that old. I think Uncle Martin was the baby then, when we were in Sturgeon. Because Papa, well, my dad was from Sweden, and Papa, we called him Papa. We never said Daddy them days. It was always Papa. I don't know what year he must have came. Anyhow, I remember living in Sturgeon. Then, in Sturgeon we lived off the land. But my dad used to go to store overland sometimes to Carlock, packing, you know. I don't know how them days people, I will sometimes think, people traveled by themselves. They never fall down or hurt themselves. Hmm. Like from Sturgeon is long ways walking. Mm-hmm. But of course he used to go from our place across the bay, I mean the lagoon there, when the tide is high, and leave the dory over there. And from there he'd walk to Tanglefoot. Hmm. I know those, I remember those trails. I used them myself too. When I was married to your grandpa, your real grandpa, my first husband. And Papa would, I remember he would come back the next day only. Because Uncle Willie was the biggest from the family, but he was our half-brother. Mm-hmm. But he was with his sister. My dad brought him up as his own, because they were babies, little when Mama got married to my dad, I guess. So we always treated him as our own full-blooded brother and sister. Mary and Uncle Willie, Auntie Mary. And they were with us in Sturgeon. I guess Uncle Willie was big enough where he could take care of us when he goes to store to get when we're running short of things, you know. Because Alaska Packers, I guess, still had stores in Carlock then. Yeah. They had the store right there in the village where the school was. They made a school out of that store when the Alaska Packers quit using it in Carlock before. I remember when we went back. Well, anyhow, I started remembering in Sturgeon. I remember when, during the summer, Papa was loading up that dory, two dories, one little one and one, the big one. And he had a kicker that had a handle like this. On top it had a handle just like the, like those handles. Mm. It had the kind of kicker he had. Huh. And then it was just like a little bit better than pulling in the oars, with the oars, you know. It was a little bit better than that. Maybe it was a 5-horse kicker or something, I don't know. Anyhow, I remember he had that. And I remember they were filling the dory up. I guess they must have took everything out from the cabin where we were staying, that was our house in Sturgeon River. So next thing I remember is we were in Carlock. So he must have shut us up or something. And I remember just, you know, being in a dory, going someplace, I didn't know where. And next thing I remember is we were walking into, we were walking up the steps or whatever, going up from the beach to the walkway up above, from the beach. And I always remember going into the house, and I seen this old lady sitting in a captain's chair. And to me, there was so many people outside, you know. They came and meet us, or I guess they must have come and meet. They used to meet people, you know, welcome them or help them. And we were just little, and when we were hiding behind our mother, you know. And I remember going into that house, and that was going to be our house. And I seen this old lady, I also remember, with her legs crossed like this, sitting in the captain's chair. But I don't remember anything after that again. And pretty soon I start to remember staying in that house. Papa must have bought it from them. And I don't remember them taking everything out that belonged to them. They moved to another house, bigger one. And we got that house from them. They sold it to my dad for $50. I remember he used to say that he bought it for $50. Then this was a lot of money. $50 was lots of money. Then I also remember growing up in there. That was our house. And it was right by the bridge there. The new bridge that they built, you know. But the two old bridges, the Jackwick built by hand, before the government built those other two. There was four bridges all of them. The very first one Uncle Jack's dad built was right below the church in Carlock. Right below. Hmm. And it went straight across to the spit where the icebreakers are. And then there was a plank walk from there into the warehouse. And people used to go from the bridge to go to store, into the warehouse and go to store.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the store was old store, you know, real old store. And I remember growing up in that house. And people was so nice home. I grew up when the village was no drinking, no young children or young people never smoke or nothing like that. But during the spring of the year, they always had some kind of games outside, playing ball games out on the island. Mm-hmm. And the men would be playing bow and arrow up on the hillside, I remember.
What was it called?
Huwakhludung.
Huwakhludung?
Huwakhludung. That was their game.
Mm.
There was two teams trying to beat each other. Just like us two teams out on the island playing ball.
Mm. What was the game on the island called?
Huh?
What was the game on the island called?
Laptuk.
Laptuk?
Laptuk.
Ah.
Laptuk Luda.
Laptuk Luda?
Uh-huh. Mayachi Luda.
Mayachi Luda.
Laptuk Luda is Mayachik. Mayachik is a ball. Mayachi Luda. When we started playing ball, Mayachik Shokluda, Shishahami. Then the Nugud Nugaspiat Huwahtashad Kanani Shishahami out in the island. The men used to play bow and arrow down there on the island. They quit playing bow and arrow in the island so the children, the growing up us, could have our own place to play ball.
Hmm.
And they made themselves a place up on the hillside where they could have bow and arrow games. And they had rocks, I remember. We used to go watch them sometimes as kids when they're playing bow and arrow. And they used to have a stick on one side and stick on the other side. Sometimes they used to have that big bull kelp,
uh-huh,
on the stick. And they could see the stick better than,
mm-hmm,
on top they would have it, you know. And then we used to watch them when they're playing bow and arrow, and then I always remember them saying, "Ay, ay, ay, awa ya chiyachtan." That's one, I always remember that. Ay, 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 that means when somebody shot a bow, an arrow, they didn't shoot it straight. It went down below. A chiyachtan. He didn't hit the stick, you know,
the head
or whatever they're shooting for to try and beat the other team, you know. They had to shoot right straight. I guess they had it marked. They had them marked, I guess.
Huh.
Yeah. And then all of them, the two teams, would be shooting at that one. Then they'd go to the other side and start shooting on this side.
Hmm.
Taking turns with the those...
bow and arrows.
With the bow and arrow. Yeah. And then sometimes when the tide is high, us young kids would be playing hide and seek. Palachkahluda. That's what they call it. Palachkak.
Palachkak.
The two teams would have, you choose who you want to your side. And then and the other one would choose who they want. And there'd be a bunch of us, you know. So there was two teams of us playing palachkak. So the team leader, like I would be the one, would be the leader. We'd have a stick, so big, you know, not very, about this high. And you'd have the stick, you'd take the stick like this from the bottom. And then the other team would too, take both of us. This one would be the other team and me at the bottom. Then I would go here, then he would go here, and keep on going like that. And the last one that takes the tip has to run for that stick. It was fun. But the other team would throw it as far as he could. As far as you can throw it, you throw it. Then everybody would go and hide. The two teams go and hide. That was our games. Summertime. Towards summer, you know, before, you know, if it's raining or something, we wouldn't play. Sun shining.
Now, when he went and got the stick, then what?
You'd have to put it in a certain place and go look for whoever is hiding. And then you'd have to run before that person catches that stick. Otherwise, if he beats you or she beats you and she goes like this, and then you'd have to go and get it again. Would have to come out from hiding. I forgot what we used to say. I can't remember what we used to say when they go like this. If that person beats you. Oh, I didn't like that when they beat me. I have to go and get it again, you know. But because there were a lot of kids to look for.
Right.
Yeah, their team, our team, you know. One side, just like one of us would be about eight of us and the eight on the other side. But we would play all afternoon. Sometimes our mothers and, you know, our dads would have to holler for us to come home, no time to come in. It would be getting kind of just, you know, evenings. Time to come home. And we would go home, we'd be having fun.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And just playing. We used to play all the time. We never got bored. Summertime when our dad, our mother would get together with her friends. Like I say, that's how I always remember my mom talking about things that's happening now. We would go outside and play, it's sun shining. And then we'd go on the hillside where my dad had a smokehouse. And we'd play house. And other girls would play a little ways from us. That'd be our neighbors. We'd make mud pies. Mud pies. And we'd have those little hills for our cupboards, you know. Fix them up just like little cupboards, you know, ourselves. Yeah. Just open them up and leave the grass on them. Just make
shelves.
Yeah, shelves with the mud. That was our cupboards. And then we'd get old things from where they were throwing them, pieces of, you know, stoves or something. We'd find them and we'd bring them down there and make little, pretend as our stove. We'd find old pots. make believe we're cooking. And then the other neighbors would be the same thing. The other girls would, and the boys would be playing with us too. The boys sometimes would have our dolls with us. Our dolls would be our babies. Our rag dolls. They were not really dolls from store or anything. They were rag dolls. My godmother used to make us rag dolls, nice ones. She used to embroider the eyes, put eyebrows and nose and mouth, and hair with a worsted. They called them this, now they call it yarn. Make hair with them. And she used to bring them home when she comes from trapping. We used to look forward for that. There were three of us. We had one godmother, Tanya Gunderson. She always made us dolls during the winter while they're trapping. She'd take old clothes with her, you know, when they leave for winter. They used to stay all winter down there someplace. They call towards Halibut Bay now, they call some place around there they used to trap my godmother and her husband. People used to go trapping, stay all winter, then come home in the spring with all their catch, you know, with all the fur, foxes.
Wow.
All different kinds of foxes. Black fox, cross fox, red fox. Those three kinds, I remember. And then land otters did get weasels. Trapping all winter. Then when they get home, when they come home, they'd send them to Sears Roebuck, mail them.
Ah.
If one is very good fox, good fur, they'd get close to $20 for one.
Wow.
Never more than 30, I don't think. I know. My dad used to get $15, quite a bit. But black foxes were about $20-some. Black fox.
And they would send them
and
to Sears? They send them to Sears?
Sears Roebuck.
Huh.
Yeah, they send them to Sears Roebuck, mail them to Sears Roebuck. And then they'd get their checks. And they would cash them in store. That's how they lived before winter time. My dad used to go trapping by himself too after we were settled in Carlock when I was growing up. He used to go trapping. I was maybe his age, 5, 6 years old. He used to go trapping to by himself to sturgeon. And stay over there. And he would come for the holidays for Russian Christmas and New Year's, and then he'd go back again to finish up his trapping till spring. Or either if he's short of groceries, he'd come home too and go to the store, go back again, all by himself. And that's a long walk. But he had a dory, like I told you, he'd wait for the tide and then he'd go across to the cabin. I remember. I always think it was so nice before. Easy living, just like.
Christian.
To me, it was.
Mom?
You know, because people, as I was growing up, was so nice. Like, no drinking, no kids didn't smoke, or, and they behaved, they listened to their parents, or not even their parents, they listened to anybody that's older than themselves. We used to have to listen to anybody that's outside the house that's older than my mom and dad. I mean, if they're as old as our mother and dad, or even older, like our oldest brothers and sisters, we had to listen to them too. Whatever our older brother tell us, we have to listen to him. And that's the way it was outside the house too. If an older boy tells you something, or older girl than you, you have to listen to them. If you did something outside, you know, they would tell you, that's no good. Don't do that no more. You know, if we're running after somebody trying to fight, or, you know, how kids are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We listen. If all the kids listen to elders outside at their homes. And all the children got along in the village. Hmm. Like I told you, we always played ball down in the island. And then from there, with summertime, we played dolls, and the boys would play. A lot of times the boys would play boats. Their parents or their dads used to make them little boats out of a bark from the beach. Carve them like the little boats, you know. Make them little boats. Mm-hmm. And they'd be playing boats on the water. That's their engine. I remember them going... That's the engine going. I always remember that. A lot of boys would be playing. And then when we're playing out in the island, sometimes when we don't want to play up on the hillside, we'd have the boys, we pretend the boys are fishermen for us. The boys would be as big as us, you know, would be about, I guess I must have been about seven, eight years old. And seven, I think, because my mom was not even sick then. Mm. God bless her. So I must have been seven. We'd be down there on the island, and we'd be playing, we're the cooks in the cookhouse, you know, because we'd seen cooks in the cookhouses, you know, on the split side. Uh-huh. And the girls would be the cooks. We'd pretend, and the boys would be the fishermen. And they'd roll an old web, real long, you know, just like this, real long, and they'd be playing. They're making a haul. Mm-hmm. And they'd catch little flounders and little bullheads. And we'd be playing with them bullheads and the flounders right there on when we catch them, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we'd let them go again. Because we want to play with them again next day. Mm-hmm. We won't kill them. Uh-huh. We just catch a whole bunch of little ones. Hmm. Tiny little bullheads. And tiny little fish, regular fish that's growing, they used to come in to where it's kind of deep, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used to catch them. And then we'd put them in the cans sometimes, just to watch them swimming around. Mm-hmm. Then we'd pour them back in to where we got them from. We wouldn't kill them. Hmm. Yeah. But a lot of times we get stuck out in the island, we'd be crying out there, just a whole bunch of us, fishermen and cooks. Fishermen and cooks would be crying. The tide catch us. Tide would be coming in, and our mothers wouldn't even know we're out there playing. Aww. You know, and then they'd have to send somebody with long boots and they'd be carrying us ashore. Tide would be coming in, used to come into the lagoon, and sometimes all around the island, you know. We'd be all crying because the tide was coming in. We couldn't go ashore. We were scared of the water. Mm. Yeah. Then they'd send somebody with long boots on and come pack us on the shore. Pack us ashore. The cooks and the fishermen crying.
Okay, I'm gonna.
I always remember how we used to play.
Okay, I'm gonna close it for now.
Yeah.
That's good. You can talk
tomorrow
for
we'll
30
start
minutes.
From there again.
Yeah, okay. Today is March 9th, Friday, with Clyda Christensen and myself.
Ooh, I've been thinking about it for a while.
And we were talking about how our ancestors are buried, and Grandma is remembering something.
I remember hearing people, elders talking. I used to hear elders talking about them. Even my mother-in-law, my first husband's mom, used to talk about them, that people from way back, our ancestors, they used to bury them with the, like a man would get old with the spears that they caught the very first time. They treasured those and they kept them. And then when they died, they would let them take them along. Anything that they treasured living the first time, when, like if they caught a seal the very first time, they would keep that spear, and they used bow and arrows too for wild stuff. They would let them take all that stuff that they treasured along. I always used to hear them say that. And I used to think, gee, they must be, wherever they're buried, there must be a lot of stuff then.
Mm-hmm. How do you say it in Aleutic?
Chumia shoot, shoot tamashit. Pijuriyas magut nugaspet shunnahat pijuriyak kashkada. First time pishkada. Tuhuna nalukunagu like a bow and they didn't use a bow and arrow, they used a regular stick with a
spear.
With a spear on the end. They would treasure the very first one they used, and then the spear on the end they would mark each time. They would mark it how many times they caught whatever they caught with that one spear. That's why we used to find those spears with marks, why they have marks on them. On my artifact book, I found that out. Those marks are meant how many wild stuff they caught with that one spear. And they treasured that one spear. And they, if they grew old, they still kept it. And when they lose that person, if they go from the family, when he gets old or whatever, if he goes ahead of the family, they let them, the men, they let them take him along. All the men were buried like that. Whatever they treasured, I used to hear them talk about them.
You said
from way back. Your grandma, your great, yeah, your great-grandma, the blind old lady, they used to talk about them like that. I used to hear them shoot, she meant people from way back, you know, they remembered, or they remembered themselves, I guess, growing up, people talking about them, you know, and they remember them themselves. Mm-hmm. And they talk about them, you know, as mm-hmm. they get older. Mm-hmm. And that's how I heard them too. Mm-hmm. I heard Bob, I know lady, talking about them a lot of times. You know, to me shoot maschit. Chakit alak ngadang. Chakalya haluki, take care of them. Chakalya haluki, all the time have them put away. And they would mark how many times they caught with that one spear. And when that person dies, the family let them take him along. And they let them take along a lot of stuff that he treasured. But from the time he was young to the time he was old, or whenever person gets sick, I guess, you know, sometimes I guess they died young too. They had no doctors in them days, I guess, except for shamans or whatever. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them didn't believe in shamans either. I don't know anything about shamans, but then I used to hear about them too. Mm. I used to be scared about some people, old people at home, but they didn't do that stuff. But they remembered they had shamans. Mm. Yeah. I'll tell you a story about blind old lady, my mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. I was with you. Grandpa yet, mm-hmm. before I left your mom's dad, before we got divorced, I was still with him, and I was so young, I didn't realize what she's talking about. She used to use this one dress for Good Friday, and that was the special dress she wore, and this one time, she lost that one dress. She lost her dress.
Hmm.
Or she kept it. This one guy, in fact, could I say anything like that?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was her own son-in-law.
Hmm.
He was kind of an elderly man. Was married to your auntie.
Hmm.
Your great aunt. Mama's auntie. Your mom's auntie. My husband's sister, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember her looking for it. That was before her youngest daughter died. She was still real good yet.
Mm-hmm.
Before she got sick, she was same age as me. And she looked and we looked, never found her dress.
Mm.
And she was getting that funny feeling. She started to get that funny feeling. And she knew who was trying to do something to her.
Hmm.
And when finally how that dress came to the house, we never knew. Came back to the house.
Hmm.
She finally found it, but it was cut.
Ah.
She was so scared.
Hmm.
She blessed our house, and she cleaned everything. She was letting us clean everything, wipe up everything. And then she blessed the house with holy water. And she knew who it was. She approached him.
Hmm.
Yeah. But how he got hold of her dress, she never knew. But she burned it. She burned the whole thing in the heater. We used to have that belly type those kind of heaters, you know. We used to have one like that. She burned it in there.
Wow.
Her own dress that she was so stingy for, you always wore it just for that one occasion. It's Good Fridays.
Good Friday.
There was a big hole in it. Big hole. Cut. You could just see it was cut with scissors or something. He was trying to do something to her. To get her sick or something. But she had a feeling she knew who it was. Because his dad was some kind of a shaman, I guess. And he kind of learned a little bit from that, but he wasn't too good at it. And she approached him and told him. I guess he, you know, apologized or something. He was sorry. But he never did that no more to nobody, but it was just her. Because she was always, you know, getting after them all the time for drinking. She was always getting after them because he was married to her daughter. Chalyaga, they call Anton Chalyaga. If they cut Chalyaga's dad. And that much I remember of him. And he was the only one, that was the only one I remember in Carlock that tried to do something to his own mother-in-law. He tried to do what his dad used to do, but he didn't get away with it. She approached him, told him she knows that it's him that did it. But how he brought the dress back or how or it was or but the dress was in the same place where it was hanging.
Wow.
But there was a big hole in it. So he took a piece of her dress. He was gonna do something to her, I guess.
Right.
But she burned it up and he couldn't do anything because she won't wear it. She wouldn't put it on. Even she was stingy for it, she just prayed and burned it. She burned it up. That's how much I remember shamans. He wasn't a shaman, but he tried because his dad was a shaman, I guess, and he remembered a little bit of it, but he didn't know the rest to go by what he was trying to do. What he was trying to do. I don't know what he was trying to do to her.
Hold on 1 second.
Crosswalks now.
March 11th, Sunday morning. We're talking about trapping fox and the name of the fox. The black fox is what?
Tanriak.
The red fox?
Red fox is Katariak.
And the
cross fox, I can't remember how they called it. I gotta ask Marina if she does remember. She should remember. I hope she remembers. She's so old. And then,
what you call the weasels?
I was just gonna tell. Weasels, we call. I can't think about it either.
And the land daughters?
Oh, land daughters, they call.
Achyak. You just said, you were just telling me.
Land daughters, they call them.
The Achyat?
Aluta. No, Kadachyak is the red fox. Black fox is Tanachyak. Cross fox, I can't remember. And weasels. Amitaduk.
Amitaduk.
We saw this Amitaduk. I got out, ask somebody that knows maybe. I hope Marina is the only one. I got nobody else, I don't think, remembers. And landowner, there's the call. Sophie maybe remembers.
You just said it. The Achiat, I thought you said.
I can't think of it. Gee, I should try to think of things way back.
Now, when you...
Animals.
You were telling me about how they trap the weasel?
Yeah.
Explain that again.
They take two boards. We used to get those gasoline box boards. But a lot of people way back, I guess, used to use any kind of boards they get. And they make the traps out of wood, a piece of wood, like you would take a piece of kingling wood. I know how to make that. I wish I could. I think I could make one myself. Sometimes. I remember how they're made. They make a little trap like this. This so big, maybe not even 10 inches. This is not 10 inches, I don't think. Maybe about 10 inches, about this long. About 10 inches high, about so wide, about maybe 4 or 5 wide, a piece of wood. Then they take a knife and they, so far from the bottom, they would make a little spot where they're going to cut the wood in half, not in half, it would be halfway. And that part you would have to take off, and then you'd have to carve the other side too. You carve one on the front first, but you leave the top part straight, straight. Then you make a stick. After you make that one little piece of wood for a trap, then you make you get a stick to fit that wood. So far, you'd have to open that stick. I mean, on the bottom, that one you carved would be one piece, and the other one would be one whole piece on the back. One little piece would be, you'd have to put it out, and then you put the stick under, you carve the stick as far as you're going to put that, put the stick on that trap.
Like making a notch.
Yeah, like a, you would carve it like this, like like it's open, you know, and then you put it onto the, to the trap. On that stick, under that end of that stick, you put a piece of anything for a bait, small little piece of bait. So the weasel can smell it way inside, and the weasel goes in. But you put a rock on top of the trap itself on the board, not that little trap thing. That's the piece of wood. Nobody knows how to make them, I don't think. But I could. Maybe sometimes I'll try making you one. Yeah, how they used to trap weasels. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll try and think of Landora and the cross fox.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Don't be ready. I gotta go and get ready.
March 17th of 2007. Grandma is remembering a story of Shung Chut.
Just like those I'm seeing in the TV, leprechauns, they call them. But at home, they used to call them Shung Chut. I always heard a story of somebody telling a story that
Christian?
A long time ago, when the men went hunting and kayaks yet, and they went hunting, and just before they got around a point someplace, this must have been many, many years ago, and they heard people talking, real loud people.
This way. Okay. We're back on now. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to hear about these leprechauns at home, but they used to call them Shung Chut. But as I grew up, I heard something about leprechauns, and I used to say maybe they were leprechauns, but at home they called them Shung Chut, little people. Mm-hmm. These two guys went hunting in a kayak many, many years ago, I guess. And as they were going around a point, just before they got around the point, they could hear people talking. Ayaya umduluduk, real loud, louder than themselves even. And they were wondering, gee, there's people living around the point, I guess. And when they got around the point, there was only two little people on the beach with a little kayak, just enough for those two little. And when they seen these hunters coming around the point, they just grabbed their little kayak and they started running amongst the grass, and they never caught them. They landed right where they were talking, and they pulled up their kayak and they started walking, trying to find them. They couldn't even find no trail or nothing. So they never found them. Hmm. But when they went home, they were telling this story. We thought there was a lot of people, you know, around that point. When we got around the point, there were only two little people. But they were loud, talking loud. I don't know what language, though. I don't know what kind of language there was. They were all they said was, ayaya umduluduk nuwaluduk. Oh, they went ashore and they went looking for them. They didn't see the trail where they went, or they were opening the grass and everything. They couldn't find them. They used to stay at home. You have to be very clean to get near those little people. I don't know, that's true. That must have been from way, way back, I guess, you know. Mm-hmm. You have to be very clean to get near those little people. I used to hear that. They let me think about it, and I forgot about that story. Mm-hmm. Just watching the whole morning. I remember that story I used to hear at home. You have to be very clean to get to see those little people. So those two maybe was not very clean, so those two ran away. Mm. Didn't let them find them. That's all I remember, hearing it. Mm-hmm. I used to hear it when I was little even. That Shung Chut. I guess there must have been a lot of people, those people. I don't know. I used to hear about them a lot before. So they must have seen them. These two hunters seen them. But they never got to find them. But they had a little kayak. They just grabbed their kayak. A little one. Just to fit both of them, you know. I guess they must have been hunting or something. I wish they knew what kind of language. You know, they never said what kind of language they were using. But all I always remember is they said that they were talking really loud. Louder than themselves. That's why they thought there was a little village or something behind that point.
Which point was this?
I don't know where at it was. That's all I always remember them saying. It was around the point. These two hunters were going around the point someplace, and they heard people talking, and they got louder and louder. And then when as they got around the point, they seen these two little people on the beach and with a little kayak. And as soon as those two little people seen these big hunters coming, they ran away with their kayak into the grass, tall grass. And when these two went and they beached their kayak right where those two little people was, so they could go and look where they went, they never found them. They never seen the trail or nothing.
Wow.
When they went home, I guess they talked about them. They said, Shungchuk Maluk, Shungchuk Tanghalagak, Ayayam Dushinakhulag, New World, Hongkunuk Amlakayuk Lugi. And then came up Gaina Shiko, Iwang Naklago Igu Kulagak. That's all I remember.
Okay, thank you.
They used to call them Susetkat, some kind of people. They play tricks on grown ups. I remember my mom saying something about when they lose something, they would say, "Ah, so said, come to look to Chumma, ang yuchika." They'll bring it back, and when they find it, and they'll say, "Ang yuchumma why?" So said, "Come." I wonder what so said. Maybe it was a little dwarfs. I don't know. Yeah, just like that lucky. I don't know if I told you about that lucky round rock. That's why I always tell you when you're digging, always shake those round rocks. Those are lucky. And you're not supposed to show them, not even to your husband, if you find one. You got to hide it for yourself. That's your lucky charm. And you got to clean it, clean. And you have to keep it in a clean place where nobody will see it. So just you alone. And you have to bring, when you're eating, you have to bring just a tiny little piece by it from your mouth. Just feeding it. Tiny little piece, even though there's hardly anything, this they always said. When I was telling a story about that in, I was telling somebody about it in the store when I was a storekeeper in Larsen Bay. And Edith Swan, God bless her, she came in, she was in the store, and she told me, she said, "Clyda," she said, "I found one like that when I was a young girl. And it was making noise inside, a round rock, but I gave it to," she said, "I gave it to Mrs. Jones, the lady and her husband, they were the bosses for the cannery. They were taking her down to San Francisco, where they came from, to let her go to school. So she stayed with them in the White House in Larsen Bay. She gave it to that lady, the boss's wife, mm-hmm. and the boss's wife put it on the shelf, just put it on the shelf. And she told me herself, it's a true story, she told me herself, Edith did. And she said nighttime she went to bed, they all went to bed, and she had a room of her own, and in the White House, the, you know, in Larsen Bay, you know, the White House, mm-hmm. has a long hallway.
Yeah.
And nighttime, after she went to bed, she heard this boom, 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 all the way on the hallway, and all the way to the door, and it went out. Hmm. And I told her, that was your lucky charm. You were not supposed to give it away. You were not supposed to let nobody know that you found a lucky charm.
Hmm.
It didn't want to be with somebody else, that's why. And they lost it. They lost that rock. Mrs. Jones thought she took it back, and she told Mrs. Jones that she heard a clunk, 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 just like somebody was going out the door. But round, no, you could tell. Just like it was, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out the door, and she didn't hear no more.
Hmm.
And so when Mrs. Jones lost that rock, she asked Edith, did you take that rock back? And she says, no, I never touched it. Well, it's gone. And then I told Edith about the story, and she said, ah, oh, mine must have went out the door. I said, it's true. I used to hear them say, if you find a lucky charm, I mean rock, reel around. That's why I always kept mine. I got a lot of them home. When I was digging all the time with mm-hmm. Mom, and Mom probably has some too. We used to shake them, but we never found one.
Hmm.
Never did find one. Yeah, I got a lot of them home when I went digging all the time. All kinds of different colors, you know. Little ones, big ones. They're smooth. They're real smooth. But I never could find one that made noise. So every time Mom and Auntie found one, they always shook theirs too. I told them, don't let us see you, though. We're not supposed to see you if you found one.
Hmm.
No, I wonder why nobody's supposed to know when you find one like that. I always heard that story.
Hmm.
So it must have been true when Edith said she found one. It was making noise, and she said she gave it to Mrs. Jones.
Hmm.
It was pretty big rock, she said. But it was something inside of it, but it was all just a rock. But it was noisy inside.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you gave your lucky charm away.
Hmm.
Yeah. Some of those stories come back to me once in a while.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're taping.
Yeah. Every time I can.
Every time I think about something.
Yeah.
See, Uncle Randy always wants me to write everything down, but I don't like writing down. Every day I gotta write this, right? Write it down, Mom, so we could all have some, you know, something to remember things, you know, that you have said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why I got all those when people interviewed me long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, now we got more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You want to watch there?
Yeah.
Your show?
No.
Okay.
Is that soaps now?
No. Oh. It's still on.
It's still on, huh?
Yeah.
But they come back when I see something. Like those leprechauns, made me think of that. Those shunk-chut.
Mm-hmm.
They call shunk-chut. I used to hear it when I, even after I grew up. Shunk-chut. People would be telling stories about them. And then they would say, nowadays they would never have shunk-chut. Nobody's clean no more. They drink and whatnot, you know, smoke. And they gotta be really clean. Mm-hmm. Clean the way they grow up, I guess, you know, in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
Themselves, those little people. far away in the mountains, you know. But they must used to go digging too, because I remember people saying that when they go in the mountains, some places, when they go berry picking, that they used to see just like urchin, you know, those needles on the urchin, sea urchins,
mm-hmm.
just like them, and blue mussels in the mountains. But I used to think maybe the birds carry them.
Mm-hmm.
But and they used to say maybe little people where they lived, they must used to go hunting. And well, those two little, they said they were, I guess they were hunting, and they got scared of those two big regular hunters and mm-hmm. ran away. I remember a lot of stories. That Tanya Malutin's dad used to come and tell us fairy tales that he knew, that he heard from way back. I think that's his, I think he probably was the one. He probably was the one that was telling about those Shungchuk, Maluk, Shungchuk. There's another one I never remember, is Kachula Trick. Swinging. He was telling us about a fairy tale. It wasn't a fairy tale, but it was Unihkwat, they call them. I guess fairy tales, in their way, they call it Unihkwat stories. Stories from way back. And he's the one that used to tell us about that bear. You know, I told you about the bear mm-hmm. story.
Mm-hmm.
But the couple that was swinging, in the swing, he used to call him Kachulachik. I wasn't listening to him, I guess, when he was telling that story.
Hmm.
Every Saturday, after we have tea, and they would have, after church, we would have tea and have our, you know, some a lot of times, like I would say, we used to eat, live on fish, you know, and have tamok and shulunat, and did have kashak and stuff like that, and tea. Then after we were all done, with your real grandpa, Nicanor, when I was married to him, he used to come. Tanya's dad used to come to our place and tell us stories. But I didn't pay much attention to those, you know, almost every other Saturday, he'd come to our place after church, tell stories in the evenings.
Wow.
Long evenings in the wintertime. Unihkwah, how do they say? Unihkwah, they come and tell us stories. He would come and tell us stories.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he knew a lot of stories from way back.
Hmm.
I wished I could have remembered a lot of them, but I didn't pay much attention because I was only, you know, 15. Didn't pay much attention to anything. Then, I don't know why, but I always remember him telling that story about the bears. But I heard it from other people too, that bear story. My uncle Zakhar and all those used to tell the bear story. But those two, I always think of, gee, how come I didn't remember, how come I didn't pay attention to those two that was swinging? He used to call them kachulachik. Kachulach is a swing.
Hmm.
A swing. You know, those swings, and all the children always have them in their yards.
Mm-hmm.
Kachulach. They used to make, the parents used to make some for their kids at home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen them. Yeah. And I guess they had one, those couple had kachulak, and they were swinging. I don't know what they were doing, though. But all I remember him saying is kachulak, chalichwai. But that's how far I remember him saying, and I didn't pay attention what he was saying about them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I always remember that. Koichali. That's all I remember, the way he said it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you when he's squeaky comes. I'll tell you a story about those two that were swinging the swing. But the rest I don't remember. That's all I remember.
I'm gonna pray that you remember.
I wish I remembered what else, you know, he was saying about him. But I don't remember. That's all I remember him saying. Now I'll tell you a story about in Aleut, he would say it, you know. That's how I always remember it. But I didn't listen to him, I guess. Fairy tale, maybe. Or they knew from way back, maybe it was told, you know. And then another one too about a fox, too. I remember them telling about a fox. I forgot how they called a fox. Nungowatchungak. A fox. Well, in their time, I guess they called it. It was about a fox. A story about a fox. But it was a person.
Oh.
You know. But foxes, I guess, turned to person or something. I don't know. So. I always remember them saying something about I know what you're. It was a story about a fox, though. They called it. And this fox went hunting. But as a person, they all turned to person, I guess. And then he caught a devilfish. He caught a devilfish at the, you know, beach. And our Angi Suni, he came back. I forgot how they called the amigo in their way. I forgot it now. And they were all so happy. All those foxes, I guess, all turned to people, and they all went to meet him because he was dragging that big devilfish, and they called it something in their own storytelling, you know. Yeah, and they, I forgot how they called it. Anyway, it was amigo, you know. And they were all so happy, and they went into their den and cooked it. They all ate. I remember that, too. I might be remembering a little bit more some stories, but they were short. Some of them were short stories. Like that fox went hunting down the beach, night, moonlight night. They all went. They still do, you know. They go moonlight night down the beach looking for Daddy. Something to eat. But this story was, they called it Nungowatchungak. That fox. Supposed to be a fox. But the people was waiting for him. Their own family, maybe, was waiting for him. And when he was coming back with that big devilfish carrying, dragging it. And he said, I forgot what they call the amigo in their, you know, language. They all ate. all I always remember about that story. I can't remember anymore. Maybe sometimes I'll think about it. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing that thing. Oh, what is it?
My drum.
It does that?
Yeah. It's talking to you. Yeah. I'm going to need a new tape. This one's finished. Okay, Graham.
Let's see. You can hear it on that one?